Hello, 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 hello. Welcome, one and all, to another episode of Game Over.
Another Power Hour episode.
Another Power Hour episode. So, I've been turned into an accidental liar lately, and that is 2 weeks ago I said that we would be on air normally the following week, and of course last week TV Talkers did their hour-long Sopranos special, and then I certainly thought that we would be normally this week.
But no.
But the great Canadian North decided that schedules were going to be messed up today, and so currently it's just the two of us. I do have a fun story for where Matt is. Matt Manier is actually has a flat tire. That's a true story. Yeah. I didn't have to make one up today. But apparently he's had been helped by the kindness of strangers and is on his way. However, returning, I am your host, Simon Pazzo, joined by my faithful squad mate, Adam Pazzo. How you doing?
Not too bad. Although, speaking of the weather, one thing that if you haven't gone outside today, don't. And also, I got an email this morning from the guy who teaches the other section of my class this term,
yeah.
And he basically said, boy, I really hope you don't have to come into university today.
Yeah.
And that was when I knew, oh, this might get messy.
It was just going to and from work was pretty messy, and even just parking at university. And I'm sure people, when you're the person who has to carve out a new parking spot, you know, you have to pull in, back out a few times
yeah.
to make sure that when I return to that parking spot in about an hour and a half,
you can still leave.
Yeah, I could still leave. Like when you have to drop somebody off, I dropped my girlfriend off at her apartment the other day, and it was you just can't stop for a long period of time.
No.
So it's like you got to get out on the fly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can't
it's
stop.
A rolling
because
stop.
Exactly. A rolling stop. You're just gonna have to fly out there. Anyway, so we've been gone for a while, which means we have plenty of stuff to talk about, including I've actually finished a game. I finished two games, really.
What? Madness.
One of which I was kind of hoping to discuss with Matt, so potentially when he gets here, because I know he started it, we will discuss it, and that's Valkyria Chronicles 4. He started playing it. And the other one is Massive Chalice, which will be the kickstarter of a conversation that we're going to have in the second half of the show.
Yeah. Oh, I should write down. I had thoughts about that. I should write that down.
Perfect. But since we do, as you said, have a full hour episode of it today, I have a laundry list of about probably 15 to 20
holy cow
gaming news articles that I've been like slowly thinking, hey, we should talk about. Hey, we should talk about that.
Yeah.
So we're going to go through that because we have the time. The first
this
one being,
true.
First of all, are there any news articles that you wrote down that might not be on my list?
That's a good question. I'm just going to double check on something because there was something that I remember came up as weird, and I'm trying to remember what it was because I was reading something and I was just like, oh man, I can't wait to rant about that.
Okay, well maybe you'll think of it when we go through this. So the first one that came up was Nintendo made a YouTube video, which isn't that rare for Nintendo because they're very active on their YouTube channel. But this was a Metroid Prime 4 announcement, and
oh.
So I'm sure that the collective internet blew up. I played Metroid 1 and 2, Metroid Prime 1 and 2. They were okay. I've never really been a first-person shooter person, so I respected the game for what it was, but I know that there's a lot of people out there who just adore this series.
Yeah.
And so they came up with an announcement because I believe it had been announced like 2015. Or even, no, 2016 I think it was. But it's been quite a while since we had the announcement, and they announced it with just a logo.
Yeah.
There was actually no gameplay. So this would probably made a lot of people's hearts jump, and their hearts immediately sank because the announcement was Nintendo's president of game development saying, the game didn't meet our standards, and so we're delaying it and sending it to a different studio.
Oh, dear.
And it's the studio who made the original trilogy.
Oh, okay, so that's good at least.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, like, I don't know what deals were struck behind the scenes to get Metroid Prime 4 away from the original studio, but I think I agree with the resounding, what's the word I'm looking for? Resounding response from the internet, which is right on. Like,
yeah.
You know, there's that famous quote that we bring up all the time when every game is delayed. It's that Miyazaki quote, a rush game is never good, but a good game or a delayed game is good eventually.
Yeah.
I think I love that Nintendo has a set standard of quality, at least for their first party games. We've talked about that before. Even if you're not into Super Mario Odyssey, for example, that's a well-made game. And they clearly have taken that standard with Metroid Prime 4. And even though apparently they have to scrap everything, they're starting from scratch. So, you know, you got to start a new multi-year countdown for this game,
yeah,
the implication is we are going to release a good game. And so, you know, if you look at their track record, what are the last three major Nintendo titles? I mean, Pokemon Let's Go, whatever. That's like a spinoff, right? But the last three major Nintendo titles I can think of are Smash Bros., Super Mario Odyssey, and Legends of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Three pretty much masterpieces in their own right for what they did, right?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I mean, Zelda was delayed from 2015 into 2017 as a launch title, and that game turned out pretty well for them. So,
it did.
Yeah, I thought, and there was respect for what Nintendo did. But what do you think about that?
I think it's probably the right decision. And having said that, I'm not invested in this either. I have no horse in this race. I think Samus is a really cool character. I played Metroid Other M. That's the extent of my experience.
The one that people hate.
Yeah, the one that people hate. So I'm aware that I am not an authority on Metroid. So I'm like, if you're a Metroid fan, this is probably disappointing, but hold on, it'll end okay, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 10 years since the last Metroid Prime game came out, Metroid Prime 3. So, I mean, essentially what they're doing on the Switch is they're relaunching a lot of their main characters to not only a new generation, because it's been full 10 years, but also a new generation of people who they might never have touched before, because these games are on the Wii or the Wii U, where people might have touched them, right?
Yeah. So it's nobody bought a Wii U.
Exactly. I totally get that they want to come up with their best foot forward. This is a main character. And especially now, like, it's in the modern era, you do not want to release a bad game with a female protagonist, right?
Yeah.
Because then, regardless of whether or not it's true, there's going to be people online who are going to say, oh, you know, they rushed this game just because they wanted to cash in on, you know, this surge of momentum they have coming.
Or some people who do say, you know, this is why you can't have a game with a female protagonist, because
exactly.
It's going to suck. And it, that has anything to do with the game's quality. Whatsoever.
Exactly. If you're gonna do this, do it right and bring it. Because, I mean, Samus is one of the first great female characters in games, if not the first. And it was that amazing moment. Like, you and I were probably too young to have felt it firsthand, but there's an amazing moment for a lot of people out there when they revealed at the end of, I believe it was Metroid 2, or Super Metroid.
Oh, yeah, she takes off her helmet.
She takes off her helmet, it's a girl. Yeah. That entire time. I was like, we don't even talk about it, but it could be one of the first great twists in games, right?
Yeah.
So I think that she needs to come back strong, and I'm excited for it. Did you remember the news? I did not.
Bit? I've been compiling a list of the second half of the show, and there was one that had been nagging at the back of my head, and I'm like, I know it's there, and then it just came to me.
All right, so line number two. There have been rumors, I mean, there are always rumors, that there's going to be a cheaper, smaller Switch coming out. Nintendo then dispelled those rumors. Apparently they made a statement, and then the rumors came back. So really no one knows. But again, you, as someone who doesn't technically own a Switch, would this... Is it the price point that's holding you back? Is it the size? Are you one of those people who's waiting for the second generation thing? Or is this not have no effect to you?
It doesn't really have an effect on me, because I'm kind of at the point now where, and like 10 years ago I would have slapped myself for saying this, but I've really gone hard on the PC thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's so much that I think the consoles are crap, because I think the Switch is genius, but it's just that's sort of where the games I want to play are happening.
Yeah.
So I think the Switch is a good market. It's just not necessarily for me.
Not necessarily your market.
Yeah. And so, like obviously, whatever the new Pokemon thing is, we're going to buy that and we're going to play the heck out of it.
Yeah. You know what? I'd be curious. Like, if you look at a lot of their developments, sometimes it's just a bigger version. Like, if it's the mobile console, it's just a bigger version. Or if it's the Switch. I believe that the Wii... I don't even know if the Wii U had a second generation, because they knew it sucked.
Yeah.
But I believe the Wii had a smaller one. And then usually with the handheld consoles, like the DS and the GBA, whatever, you know, it's a slightly larger version.
Yeah.
What I would be interested in is if it adds a dramatically new feature. Like, the DSi had a bunch of new features that the DS didn't.
Didn't. That's true.
Kind of including a home screen, like the... like the Switch or the Wii at the time. So I'd be interested in to see if
it felt like an upgrade.
Yeah, exactly. If that's what they're going to do. It's like, hey, it's not just new, it's not just smaller, it's not just cheaper. It's got this like significant change. That would be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I don't think that would push me over into necessarily buying one, but we'll see.
It's weird that I heard I was reading an article and it basically was like Nintendo had a down year. Is this like, was it a flash in the pan for the Switch?
Yeah.
And I honestly couldn't have disagreed more. It's just like, did you see, first of all, you have all your early adopters if you were one of the people who was thinking about getting a Switch within the first year, you did because of those first party games that came out within that first year.
Yeah.
And so if they didn't catch you in that net, I can't see much in the second year that would have caught you except for maybe Smash Bros.
Yeah.
But I think the diehard Smash Bros. Fans already had Smash Bros.
And they already got a Switch.
Exactly.
In any case,
and you already have a Switch.
I'm going to buy this because I know Smash Bros. Is coming.
Yeah, there might be a few people who are holding out, but for the most part, I think you probably already had a Switch because if you're playing Smash Bros., you're a fan of Nintendo characters. That's why you have that. You know, it's a good companion piece to
You don't buy Smash Bros. If you don't know who these people are.
Yeah, but you would have to be an ostrich with your head in the sand not to think that Pokemon Starch, for lack of a better term, is going to light the world on fire again.
Yeah. Well, and it's just because, like, you and I are diehard Pokemon fans.
Mm-hmm.
And when Pokemon Go was first announced, I'm like, okay, so, like, 8-year-olds will play this. Who cares? I am a huge Pokemon fan. I don't even care. First of all, because it's first generation. And second of all, because it's a mobile game and who gives a crap. And then everyone cared. Yeah, everyone cared. And so I was totally blown away, and I was like, oh, so there actually is an audience for this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so now, the next one's going to come out, and they don't just have the old holdouts like me, they have this whole new generation of people who are like, you've now had a taste of the Pokemon universe, here's the main course.
Yeah, and I think the worry could be that we've talked about Pokemon to death, but the worry could be that Pokemon Star is going to go more mobile, more casual because of the success of Pokemon Go, but I think that's what Let's Go is. If you're only into Pokemon for the casual, play that game. I think what will be smarter and what I hope to God that they're doing is that they make a more serious hardcore, not like hardcore.
Yeah,
as in
not
like,
hard.
But you know what I mean?
Nintendo does not do hardcore.
Hardcore mechanically.
Yes.
Pokemon game for Pokemon Stars, the same way that Breath of the Wild was a breath of fresh air to the Zelda series. Like, it was not certainly an easy-to-get-into beginner game. That's Pokemon needs the Breath of the Wild treatment.
Yeah,
basically
I agree with that. And we need a Breath of the Wild for Pokemon.
All right, so I'm going to hold on to Valkyria Chronicles and Massive Chalice for later when Matt is potentially here. Hopefully he's on his way. The next bit of news. Sony has announced that they're not going to be at E3 2019.
Really? I hadn't heard this.
I think they can take a year as a victory lap. Honestly.
Yeah. I mean, if E3 just stopped happening, I'd be okay with that.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, is that just you because you don't like E3, or is that your honest opinion that would be good for the industry?
I think it would be good because I think the problem is the companies spend a lot of time essentially preparing presentations, and so many of them don't showcase gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like going to a preview for a movie and getting a look at the script. You know what I mean? It's like you're showing me stuff that isn't what I came to do.
Well, it's more like what DC's doing now, where with the Joker movie and this new Birds of Prey. I don't know if you've seen either of them, but they basically released test footage.
Oh, yeah. It's like, that doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care how your cutscenes look. Graphics. Like, everybody has good graphics now. You're not impressing me with your graphics.
Yeah.
You have to impress me with your gameplay. That's your job.
But that might be the point of it, though, is to bring in all the game journalists and whatever, the people who would talk and actually give. Because then the presentations are what, like, if you combine all of them, it's what, like 10, 12 hours over 3 days? Like, most of it is actually people playing the demos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I kind of like what Nintendo's doing, where they're, for a couple games they've had, they sent out demos to, like, Best Buys and things.
Yeah.
And get it actually in the hands of
people. And I think that's good.
Yeah,
yeah. I think the big gaming conference is kind of pointless because the thing is with a movie, right, 10,000 people can watch a movie at the same time if you get in a big enough room and a big enough screen.
Yeah.
You cannot have 10,000 people playing a video game simultaneously.
Yeah.
At a conference hall. It's just not possible.
Not in a conference hall. What I would think would be smart, like, I think that E3 still has a place, but what I think would be really smart is whoever the first company is to say, here are the games that we've announced, do the trailer, and by the way, all these games have, like, demos.
Yeah.
And not, like, really intense demos. Do you know what I mean? But, like, remember when we were playing Spyro back in the day and, like, they had the... I think we had the PS1 format disc and you could play, like, a level or whatever of Spyro.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, like, a 15-minute gameplay trailer and the Dalmatians game was on there for some reason.
Yeah. Too. Like, games used to have demos that came out that you could play.
I would think... That would be... To me, that would be genius.
Yeah.
As if they said, here's our games, go try them and, you know, maybe have a place to give feedback. I have no idea. That's what Twitter is for, I suppose.
Yeah.
But
it's like you all have digital stores. Just release them. Yeah. Just release a demo.
Just
like a normal
demo.
Person.
Yeah, I think that would be whoever gets that idea first, you can take it from me for free.
Or I guess goes back to that idea first.
I suppose, yeah. But I mean, like, on your store, just like, hey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
Because I love the, like, I think that's what J.J. Abrams did with that one. I didn't watch the movie because I've heard it was terrible, but I love it when things do that. Hey, we are announcing this thing and it's out now. Like, how can you capitalize most on the hype?
Make just release
there
it now.
No window in between the announcement and
Well, that's basically what Five Nights at Freddy's did, right? It's like, oh, there's a new Five Nights at Freddy's game. Surprise, it's 3 months early. Here you go.
Yeah, surprise, it was actually out yesterday.
Yeah.
That's what we did. We snuck it by you. Okay, so I don't know if you probably didn't watch the Super Bowl. Maybe we'll save that one for Matt, too, but Microsoft did an interesting ad at the Super Bowl about for disabled gamers, which I thought was rather nice. You might know more about this one, though. The Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which neither of us have finished or really even come close.
True.
Had a lot of controversy with some DLC. Did you hear about it?
Vague. If you refresh me, I'm sure I did hear about it.
Right, so the point of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, more than any other Assassin's Creed game, and really more than most games, was your player freedom, including your sexual freedom, your sexual agency. So you could be straight, you could be gay, you could be bi, you could be
shun
pan,
the whole
thing.
Could
shun the whole thing, you could be asexual, you could be wherever you wanted to land, you could land there. They released a DLC. Again, neither of us have played it, but we're just going on the outrage of it. But I believe the gist of the DLC is at the end of it, the player is forced into a heterosexual relationship to make a baby.
Yeah.
So the idea is, hey, you need to continue your lineage, and so you're forced to get with the son or daughter of a character, and then you breed, and there's a baby now.
Yeah.
And people freaked out.
Yep.
And I don't really blame them, because it's sort of similar to Mass Effect. Here's a weird stance for me to take. I don't mind that as a concept for a game, and I'm going to bring up a game in a second that did it way better. The exact same thing. But if you market a game based on choice, like Mass Effect did, and then you take away the choice, that's a terrible idea.
Yes.
If you just say, hey, you've been playing this game the entire time, DLC, surprise, you're going to railroad you into this? Stupid. Just stupid. But while I was thinking about it, I thought of a game that, to me, did almost the exact same thing but handled it well, and there was no outrage. Dragon Age Origins.
Oh, yeah.
You could be a gay character, right, and then at the 11th hour, Morrigan will say, hey, make a baby with me. And it'll take the evil of the blight that's inside of you because you're a Grey Warden or whatever.
Yeah.
But that was almost the exact same thing. You could be a totally gay dwarf the entire time, and then at the end they would be like, hey, have a straight relationship to make this baby. But they handled it well. So I don't think it's an inherently stupid idea what they did, but, I mean, they've made apologies for it, too. Yeah. Clearly the way they did it has...
Yeah.
And now they're thinking of backtracking. What, are you going to kill the baby? Like, how... Yeah. It's, no. What's done is done here.
Well, and also, this is Assassin's Creed. Lineage is the whole point. That's how we got here.
That's what's so strange.
If you don't make a baby, you don't go back in time.
Right. That's what's so... Well, in this one, they got your
DNA
off They got it off the butt of the spear in this one.
That's true.
And so that's why I thought it would be... I was thinking about that, too. It would be really weird if, like, Ezio would be like that. Because it's like, I know he has... Like, I'm the descendant. But they've got away from that one in the most recent games, which is why it's so perplexing. Like, in Origins, you play as a researcher, archaeologist, whatever. I totally forget her name. But in Origins, you find the bodies of Bayek and Aya, and that's how you get their DNA.
Yeah.
And now in the new ones, you get it off the spear. Right? You have the spear of Leonidas, and so you get the DNA off that, as if no one ever touched the spear. Like, that's...
That's ridiculous, but whatever.
Yeah, it's insane. But yeah, you got away from the lineage thing, and now you're, like, doubling back on it. It just didn't make a lot of sense.
Well, but isn't the idea that you're still... Even though you got it from the spear, isn't the idea that you're still connected to them?
Don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so. These ones.
That kind of undermines, because the whole premise was right. Like, the reason you can do this is that these are your ancestors.
That's what it was for the original trilogy slash. So that's what it was for the Desmond Miles trilogy.
Okay,
but
so they've improved the technology that anyone can do it now.
Yeah, as far as I know, in the most recent ones, I mean, I don't think Bayek and Cassandra or Alexios are related at all.
Okay,
I don't think. If they were, that would, I guess, sort of make sense. But I don't. Yeah. That's not a thing that I remember. And I've played those games more than I would say the average bear.
Okay.
So speaking of Assassin's Creed, they're thinking of apparently they want to make an Assassin's Creed 3 remaster.
Why?
That's my question too. It's not that long.
Why would you not remaster the good ones?
Right. So this is why it's so strange. Black Flag came out on this generation, the beginning of this generation, but this generation. You can buy Black Flag on the PS4. And as a PC player who owns both of these games, both Black Flag and Assassin's Creed 3 on the PC, I don't need a remaster. It's right there. Yeah. But that's such a weird one to do.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of the pariah of the group. It has a whole bunch of stuff no other game had, so maybe they want to double down on that. But, like, hasn't been that long. Are we getting... I know you don't necessarily think we have this, but are we getting too into these remasters now, is my question for you.
I mean, almost certainly, yes. I mean, I say that having been delighted that they remastered Spyro, but
yeah,
I should be
sense.
There should be like a 20-year gap.
Yeah.
If it didn't come out 20 years ago, you're not allowed to remaster it.
I would almost say a full generation.
At least.
Yeah. It needs to be a full generation ago. And I mean, I guess I did buy Dark Souls, which wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
But the Dark Souls series feels like it's come so far.
Yeah.
So it, and they're trying to capitalize on like the, but it's just, it's strange.
Well, like that one, and Dark Souls 1 makes a little more sense, because if you think about it from the logic of, like, this is a series that now is gigantic, and we want to go back and give everyone a chance to play one of our earlier attempts at this once we've polished it up. Like, Dark Souls makes sense for that. But Assassin's Creed 3, if you're a fan of Assassin's Creed, like, you were already on board.
Yeah.
Nobody, like, anyone who wasn't a fan of Assassin's Creed didn't become one.
Yeah.
At, you know, or even Black Flag. Because if you played Black Flag as your first Assassin's Creed and went, this is amazing, and you went, I'm going to buy the other ones, and you went, this is not Black Flag. I hate this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't get that at all.
It might be a reaction to people saying, hey, they've already rematched the Ezio trilogy. That makes sense. He's a beloved character.
Yeah.
No one cares about Connor Kenway, to my knowledge. I haven't seen any outcry or, like, saying, bring him back, please.
Yeah.
Like,
no one cares.
I haven't seen that at all. It's not necessarily a bad game. It just, and this is why I think it might be just a reaction to people saying, hey, it's too RPG now.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, we'll release one of the ones that wasn't so RPG.
Yeah.
You never played that one, so maybe you'll appreciate it more now. Like,
maybe.
Might be something like that, but it seems like a strain. I'm a super fan of the Assassin's Creed series, and I'm not sure if it's an automatic buy for me. It better be cheap.
Yeah.
Probably won't be.
Probably not.
Because Ubisoft, but it probably won't be. Okay. The Anthem beta. I'm cheering for this game to suck. I'll fully, hands in the air, I'm being the contrarian on that one. I hope Anthem doesn't do well. I'm sure everyone who works on that game is a very nice person. I wish them a life of joy and religious fulfillment. But I hope that game sucks. Or at the very least, I hope that game fails.
Yeah.
And not because I think it's the last straw for BioWare, even though it might be. But at some point, EA's got to learn a lesson. And I think this might be the one. It's just like, pray that... Or a Dragon Age sticks to their guns and they actually know what they're doing on that one. But the people who killed the Mass Effect series and then pranced on its body and are now parading in a new, fancier version of the Mass Effect series, like it's a clone, like it's Melina to Mass Effect's Katana.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Don't like that. And I was very happy to hear that the beta was... I mean, they called it a demo, but it was really a beta. They didn't really know what it was. It was buggy as hell. And people had a lot of problems with microtransactions, like they're the promise of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard that the gameplay was sort of okay. But yeah, I heard it was insanely buggy and people were very, very underwhelmed. I even heard a report that originally EA wanted it to be a free-to-play.
Oh, no.
Exactly. So, based on all of this stuff, I'm truly apologize to all the people on board of that game, the developers. But I hope your game does terribly.
Yep.
And... signs are pointing that way. Have you heard anything about the Anthem? Because I know you watch a lot of YouTubers.
So I
any
do.
Have any of the opinions kind of filtered down into your consciousness?
Well, I saw one. There was a video today on it, but I haven't watched it yet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was basically what I've sort of understood, is that it's just been microtransaction happy because that's what EA does.
Yeah.
And I, like, when it was first announced, I was like, oh, this is really cool. And then I found out that it was because... that's where all the Mass Effect Andromeda time went.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So, like, I'm kind of with you. I hope it's fun, because it look like, I really like the premise, but yeah, for the sake of just finally trying to teach AEA a lesson. I hope it fails.
Yeah. It hurts to say because I try to be a happy person and I don't want to wish the worst for people, but man, I just really hope it doesn't do well. Okay, so since Matt should be here shortly, let's get some final news that Matt won't care about out of the way. Kano has been formally announced for Mortal Kombat 11.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Wherever Sonya and Jax and those people go, Kano goes to.
Yeah.
That totally makes sense. And they announced that Kronika is not a playable character.
Oh. Yes. Oh, I guess that makes sense. She's a boss.
So immediately, our prediction list goes out the window.
Yeah.
So if you were betting on that, including Terminator, Spawn,
yeah,
and I forget what other Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Sorry, but we've been proved wrong about that one already.
Whoops.
It was worth a shot. So, is there anybody that you've, like, now that you've molded over, that you're dying to see in Mortal Kombat 11?
I don't think so. I think I'll just be happy with whatever list they pick.
Yeah.
Like, the staples. One of the advantages to having your favorite character as one of the two faces of the franchise is that I don't have to worry, is Sub-Zero going to be in the game? Yes, he's going to be in the game. He might be in the game four times.
Yeah.
That's how often he's going to be in the game.
Yeah, exactly. Man, Ermac seems like he's on the ropes. Like, I'm really nervous.
Yeah.
My mac and cheese might not be there. It's got me scared.
Because you've got regular Sub-Zero. You've got Noob Saibot is technically Sub-Zero. You get Cyber Sub-Zero. Like, yeah. I have no shortage of Sub-Zero.
Yeah. And then I think people are really feeling like Frost might be in the game, too.
Yeah. Well, and I said that, right?
Yeah.
I said Frost was an option. And maybe, yeah, maybe she'll come back. I hope they do a little bit more to differentiate her from Sub-Zero, because otherwise she was just a girl.
Well, hold on. Here's one of the prevailing theories, is that they've announced already that Sub-Zero does not have his famous ice clone.
Oh.
Which is a thing that a lot of people adore about Sub-Zero, is the ice clone to annoy people.
Yeah,
so why would they take one of the most signature moves away from their one of the most signature characters?
Unless they're giving it to somebody else.
Exactly. So they might give it to Frost. So people are leaning into that as a reason. That
That's
Frost
not a bad idea. Yeah, so I'd like to see that. I think the thing is, for me, in the story thing, the biggest thing I'm hoping for is I'm tired of Dark Raiden.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be there for a while, though. I think he's going to be one of the main bad guys of this one. He's going to share that spot with
Kronika. I'm hoping that sort of at the end of this, they do something about that. Because normally, I'm normally all for good characters turning evil, because I think it's entertaining. But, you have enough villains, Mortal Kombat. You don't need, he's the Merlin figure. Merlin doesn't go evil. Oh, hi, Matt.
Not yet, he hasn't. Welcome. You made it.
I made it.
Wow, that was...
it's a good thing we had an hour.
Yeah, right? Thank you very much.
Bye, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you very much to the two random people that pushed me out of the middle of the street.
Excellent.
Oh, you were just in their way.
Oh, yeah, I was fully blocking traffic in both directions. So at some point, someone was going to have to help me.
Yeah, exactly. It's both friendliness and utilitarianism.
Yes.
It's just we need to get things moving. Okay, so now that you're here, there were a couple other things that I want to talk about. I don't know if you guys have been following the Epic Games discussion, but they announced their own platform and people hate it. Do either of you guys know about that?
A little bit,
Yeah, so other than, have you heard anything beyond it sucks?
No.
The only other news I've heard about it was the new Metro game.
Yeah, exactly.
Exclusively on it, not on Steam.
Yeah, and they
and
were like...
people were upset about that.
People were complaining, and then they...
After
the developer
they had pre-orders.
Went, yeah, and the developer went and said, well, if you keep whining, the next one won't be on PC at all.
Well, hold on. I have a little more recent news about this. So first of all, the developer made a couple statements. They announced that it was the producers, the people selling the game, that made the choice to put on the Epic game thing, and that they said that's their decision and their decision alone. Essentially, don't get mad at us for doing what they did.
Right.
Second, they said basically a very angry game developer who is bitter at all people getting mad at his game made that statement.
Yeah.
That if you don't do this, we're going to do it. And so we absolutely were still coming to PC in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a very angry guy, and you have to understand where he's coming from. And so they are trying to smooth things over, but man, talk about just arriving in a hot mess.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? It's sort of shades of the Diablo announcement. Like, don't you guys have phones?
Is this just a really poorly timed April Fool's prank? One of my favorite statements.
Really out of season.
Yeah, really out of season April Fool's prank. That was the joke. Okay, so now we delayed this little bit of news, but there's not a ton of game news to do with the Super Bowl, except that Microsoft had that commercial with disabled kids playing various versions of Microsoft hardware, which I thought was actually a really touching ad. Did you see, did you see that one, Matt? I know you were working, but you probably had it on TV there, and you have more of a hope than Adam.
I saw some of them. I didn't actually have a chance to see that one.
Ah, dang it. It was just a really heartwarming ad, and just I wanted to, not even anything more than acknowledge it, but just a tip of the hat to Microsoft. Be like, hey, you're going to, like, that probably cost how many millions of dollars to get that ad,
they spent
right?
A lot of money on Super Bowl ads. Yeah.
Exactly. So to actually do that during prime time, to get an ad out there saying, hey, we're going to be supporting this, very important. Tip the cat to Microsoft.
Yeah.
Right on. Now, I've been saving this for while we're all here. There's an announcement that Miyazaki does not want Demon's Souls remastered.
What?
So it might be out of his hands because Sony might just do it anyway and get another studio to do the actual remaster. But apparently Miyazaki was asked about it, and he said, it's embarrassing to look back on my previous work. And, like, I took offense to that.
That's your favorite one.
I love his previous work.
Yeah. Demon's Souls is unbelievably good. So, like, how could you be? I mean, I know you've, you know, really transitioned from there. But, man, that kind of dashed my hopes
a
little bit.
It makes me really sad to hear that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not all that surprised because a lot of creators will say that about any of their previous work.
Yeah, exactly. If you look back on old writing, if you're a writer, you're not going to think too highly of it. But still, I mean, Sony might just do it anyway, which I really hope for.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know what I'd rather have? I'd rather have a Demon's Souls 2. Like, just the same, give me the same layout, but just do it again.
Interesting.
But better the
same mechanics.
Yeah, same mechanics.
So differentiate it from the Dark Souls series.
Exactly.
Por que no las dos? I'll take both.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'd love a Demon's Souls remaster. I was sort of disappointed when they announced the Dark Souls remaster, not because I didn't want a Dark Souls one, but because I really wanted a Demon's Souls one.
Yeah, Demon's Souls is everywhere.
Because, like,
it's so hard to find.
It could actually. It could use one.
Yeah.
You know, like the server, I mean, the servers are down now, rip.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were always an issue. There were just some, like, technical things with the game that I think would have been fairly easy to clean up.
Yeah.
So it's too bad to hear him say that. Like I said, it's not surprising to hear him that he has that opinion of his old stuff, because lots of creative people have that, you know. Yeah. Like, watch enough YouTube Q&As where people are like, do you watch your own stuff? They're like, no, I hate my own stuff.
Yeah.
Like, all I see is the problems with it, right? Yeah. So, but, you know, I would hope that he would have the opinion is like, you know, oh, I'm embarrassed to look at my past work. So, like, oh, wouldn't it be great to go back and fix some of the things I don't like about it?
Yeah. But apparently he'd just rather forget about it and move on.
Apparently. You know what? Maybe it's because I've transitioned to a PC gamer, like Adam was talking about earlier. We've both kind of gone that direction. But I'm really biased. I don't care if it's a... We were just talking about a remaster earlier, Assassin's Creed 3. I want a remaster if it gets something onto a PC. Because to me, if it's on PC, it lives forever.
Yeah.
Right? Once it's in the Steam library or in the PC, whatever, there it is there forever because it can transition. If Demon's Souls has the unfortunate... I mean, first of all, it's down.
Yeah.
And it's on PS3. So people can't even go in and revive the servers if they wanted to. Yeah. I play plenty of old games where the servers have been down for years. I play
Red Dead Redemption?
No. Red Alert.
Red Alert, of course.
Red Alert 2. Yeah. I've played that game online. It came out in 2001, and the company that made it is done. They got closed
they
by EA.
They don't exist anymore.
They don't exist anymore. You can still play it online because of what fans are doing.
Yeah.
So even if you just do what you have to do to get it on PC, and then the fans will take care of the rest. So that's where I would like to see a remaster or something.
And Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, if you're listening, I have two words for you that will pull both me and Simon back onto your couch. Backwards compatibility.
Ah, so you've read my next bit of news, which is that the PS5 is rumored to have backwards compatibility.
Yep.
The single, I think we can all agree with this, the one feature that would probably make it the instant buy over the other two. Or I guess the other one, because the Switch is out of competition.
Yeah, really.
But if you have a choice between two consoles, they're both very powerful. One's backwards compatible, one's not. Super easy choice.
Mm-hmm. That's not a difficult choice.
Yeah. Totally agreed.
Parents everywhere rejoiced.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how many times I was in some kind of game store. Some mom's getting like an Xbox 360 or something. And it's like, oh, and they can play all their old games, right? And it's like, well,
no.
Certain ones,
that was pretty much just the Wii.
Yeah.
Yeah. And God bless the Wii for it. All right, so we're about halfway through the show. I do have, believe it or not, a couple other bits of news, but we do have a discussion topic that I want all three of us to have. However, since we're doing an hour-long show, the Game Over Power Hour, we have to pay some bills. We're going to play a quick commercial, and we'll be back in about 30 seconds. There we go. I tried to time that with the when the music went down, we went down, but we're back. Yay. Welcome to the second half of the Game Over Power Hour. I am, of course, still your host, Simon Pazdar, to my faithful squad mates. Now the trio reunited, Adam Pazdar and Matthew Menier. Hopefully, with everything goes to plan, which it hasn't at all this year so far, we'll be back to the regular time slots of us being Game Over being 5 to 5:30 next week and TV Talkers being 5:30 to 6.
Not that we're complaining about having the extra time.
Not that, yeah, we don't shut up on this show. We shut up when we have to, basically, is when we're absolutely forced to. Okay, so a couple other bits of news, and then I know you guys are chomping at the bit to get into this discussion. The first one, which is truly tragic for me, and you guys probably won't be bothered at all, and that is that the CD Projekt Red, their creative director, has departed for Blizzard.
Oh, dear.
That's a major snipe.
Yes, it is.
That is like a major... That's the trading of Wayne Gretzky to the LA Kings is what that is, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow, yeah, that's awful.
Especially when they're in the middle of Cyber 2077. They must have been... Either Blizzard must have said, here's a truck full of money, and there's three more behind it.
Yeah.
Or Cyberpunk 2077 must be way closer to development, or they have a protege. I have no idea, but man, I hope this doesn't derail the trajectory of that company.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there were a whole bunch of talks about how people, critical people, left about Mass Effect 3, my game
and
we might be talking about later.
Turned out.
And we saw how that turned out. So, man, I hope that doesn't happen to CD Projekt Red.
Also, you can now fill out your Mass Effect bingo card.
Yes, there we are. You're definitely going to fill it out today, I have a feeling. Okay. So, the last bit of news, well, it's not really news. I finished Valkyria Chronicles 4. I know Matt started to play Valkyria Chronicles 4.
Mm-hmm.
I could say I really, really liked it. I really liked that game quite a bit. It's so anime, particularly the end. I won't spoil things for Matt, but things kind of come out of the way just to make conflict, not because it necessarily made sense. I might have liked a little bit of a tighter military story, but it hits all those crucial anime emotions. It was really enjoyable, and there is a staggering amount of post-game content. Including, there's a DLC where you get to buy, play as, and then unlock two of the boss characters in the game. Four, technically, but two of them are really boss characters, and the other two are just good characters. And then you can play with them in the regular skirmishes. So your story's already done. They don't actually appear in the story, obviously. But, it's so much fun after getting my butt kicked with these characters to be able to control them, and they're not powered down at all. So you can just you can just walk through a mission with the two of them if you want to. It's amazing. It's so cathartic. It's
that's great.
I honestly wish more games did that. I mean, the only one I could think of was, like, Mortal Kombat, where it's like, hey, you want to play as Goro? Here he is!
Yeah.
But then again, they're not doing that with Chronica this time, so maybe I'm biting my tongue. But Matt, how are you enjoying that game so far?
I'm having a really good time with it.
Yeah.
I'm only a few hours in so far. I still, you know, most of the times when something happens, it's for the first time, and I get that little, like, hey, here's a tutorial on how to do this thing.
Yeah.
But I'm having a great time with it so far. I, like, it's sort of, like, somewhat more, like, real-time, like, XCOM, but anime?
Yeah.
In a weird way? Like, I don't know. The combination of, like, real-time movement but, like, turn-based combat is really interesting. I haven't, like, I've done similar things, but it's definitely got kind of its own take on it. And I'm loving, like, I haven't had a chance to interact with all the characters yet or use all of them, but I can just look through the list. And so you get that, like, the Fire Emblem, like, giant list of people. I'm so excited to, like, you know, find your guys and see all that. It looks like there's a really cool sort of, like, individualistic progression system that's waiting for me, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, Simon's talked about that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really, like, it's been good so far. I'm really excited to keep going.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, I've talked ad nauseum about it. People buy this game so they can make another one, but it's really good. I never even thought of comparing it to XCOM before, but that's totally what it is. It's like in XCOM, if when you selected a character, you went into a third-person shooter with that character very briefly, and then you move them and did everything you did in XCOM exactly the same.
Hmm.
That's exactly what this game is, except everyone has free Overwatch. Because whenever you move, if you can see characters, if they start moving on their turn, you would just automatically shoot them.
Huh.
Which is a nice little gimmick, I suppose, because it's fair. The other team gets to do it, too.
Yeah, and like a very wide range of classes.
Yeah.
So far, like even just immediately. I don't know how many, if any, get added throughout the game, but even right off the bat, you have like a wide range of different stuff. And it seems so far like you actually have to kind of stick to characters' strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, they play dramatically differently, and there's a shocking amount of variation within the classes, too. So I think you start off with four, and you get a fifth. You start off with scouts, assault troopers, or I think shock troopers they're called, lancers, which is your rocket launcher people. No, there's five. Engineers and snipers. Yeah, and then you get a grenadier.
Yeah.
You get grenadiers too, which is like long-range mortar things. Super cool. And they're so different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's, you definitely can't just, like, take one guy and go do everything. Right? Like, it's not, like, yeah, XCOM, you could do that a little bit with some of the classes.
Yeah, if you had a melee guy who was a high enough level, they could just clear out an entire enemy encampment.
Yeah. No, this one, I've already had it a few times where, you know, I just try to take a character and just like, oh, okay, I'll just run into the middle of the enemy or like, you know, get up to them and then, you know, just sort of like fight them out from there.
Yeah.
You die every time. You need some like actual strategy going into it, which is so refreshing.
Yeah, it sounds like a nice change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what, I mean, I suppose it kind of depends on what difficulty you're playing on. To be honest, I'm playing on normal, I think it was. I think it's normal and hard.
I think it's just like normal and casual.
Okay, yeah, okay, and then I'm playing on normal.
Or
and
sort of like, you know, hardcore modern story mode, basically.
Yes, basically. I remember there's kind of a difficulty spike when you get to the superpower characters that are the enemies, which is why it's so enjoyable to control them later.
Mm-hmm.
So when you'll be screaming at your TV when you hit those moments, but for the rest of it, very enjoyable. Okay, so
can
I also
confirm he was screaming at the TV.
Yes.
I did also just want to give a shout out to Evil Mode from Lord of the Rings: The Third Age. Reminds me of sort of being able to use those bosses where you could fight like your party using people you had fought against during the game. You could unlock like late game items and then add them into any save file that you had. So you can literally go get like the strongest things in the game that would let you one shot everything through like the first three quarters of the game if you wanted to do another run through.
Nice.
That was a good time.
But yeah, we only have 15 minutes left, so we better get into it.
All right, so I've been playing Massive Chalice. So I played Massive Chalice. Now, this game, for people out there who haven't played it, it's sort of a indie game. It's made by Double Fine, who have made relatively, Tim Schafer.
Tim Schafer's company,
so
yeah.
They're pretty well known, but it's still an indie game.
Yeah.
And it's got one of the most interesting premises I've ever played.
I agree.
And that is basically, you are a king who lives in a cup. As weird as it is to say, it's true. You live in there with two sort of cup entity, or I should call it a chalice, I suppose.
Yeah.
Chalice entities. It's not really clear who they are, but one of them is voiced by Simon Templeman, who's in all of the BioWare games, and I love that.
Yeah.
And basically, there's evil coming in. So for Matt and people who don't know this game, I'm going to compare it to Game of Thrones, because I think it was pretty clearly influenced by Game of Thrones. So basically, you play in Westeros, and the North is coming. Or the White Walkers are coming from all sides this time, not just the North. There's an invasion of White Walkers, and they're going to keep coming. The people in the Chalice have a way to defeat all the White Walkers, but in order to do it, they need to charge up for 300
years.
And so you're start off with a group of heroes, and you have to play with them knowing for sure those heroes will die way before the war is over. And so what you have to do is establish houses. You build, like, you literally build keeps. You put people in the keeps. You marry them off. Their children, you can intermarry the houses. There's probably going to be some incest by accident along the way. Who knows? But
there was definitely that.
There's
one
definitely, yeah, there's definitely absolutely incest. But by the end of it, I started off with the people who were called the Grey Wolves.
Yeah.
And they lived in, like, Stoneheart, I think was their castle name. Just awesome.
Yeah.
And that's the first person, the first keep that I did, and their descendant was the one that made the final shot to win the thing at 300 years later. Amazingly satisfying. Hopefully that premise is selling you on it, because the gameplay actually isn't very good.
No.
It's kind of like Fire Emblem, but worse.
It's Fire Emblem, also kind of like XCOM,
or XCOM, I guess. XCOM is way more comparable. It's like XCOM, but worse. A lot worse.
Yeah.
But it was still enjoyable enough to do that. But we got to the ending. I'm going to spoil the ending for you, because it's so disappointing. I got to the ending, and basically they said, or the girl, there's a girl and a boy in the cup, or at least girl and boy voices, because it's a cup, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
But the girl says, I can't keep it from him anymore. And the guy's like, what are you doing? We agreed not to tell him. And she's like, so we actually can't kill all the White Walkers. We can only push them back very, 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 very far. But they're going to come back and do this again eventually. Yeah. And in order to do this, we have to blow the cup up, which was going to kill us and you. And so it's, and that's exactly what happens. There's no choice about it.
Yeah.
So it's sort of edging on BioShock Infinite, where it's like, we know this is a game. You're probably going to do multiple run-throughs. Each run-through is a different version of the timeline where they did this. But it wasn't handled very well. It was just like, the entire time I've been working for this, and I have all these houses of people, and now you're just going to take it away from me? And like, when I started this continent was blank. There were no houses on it. So if this happens again, what happens to the houses? Like, just didn't make a lot of sense. There wasn't a lot of post-game explanations. And what I truly, deeply wanted was a timeline at the end to say, hey, here's all the people from this. Like, here's the bloodline of the first guy, and this is how it got to the end. These were your original fighters, because you start off with, like, five of them.
Yeah.
And here's where they all ended up. Like, the blood of these people is in there. I would have loved to see that, like, a big family tree spreading out. Kind of like at Civilization. At the end, they do, like, the rewind?
The rewind, Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And so I was like, what?
Yeah.
And I was just mad and disappointed. So, on the theme of mad and disappointed, with the last 12 minutes of the show, let's talk about what made you mad and disappointed, starting, I guess, off with Adam, because he seems to have the most ammunition here.
I have so much. Okay. So
You have to save for me and Matt.
Okay, fine. Yeah. I won't talk about that one.
Yes, exactly. Okay, carry on.
All right. So the first one, so I divided my list up into kind of 2 seconds. One where the ending was just kind of crap, and the other one where the ending was just so bewildering. I'm like, why did you put that in the game? I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But the first list is longer. So aside from the one that I'm saving for you and Matt, the my most controversial one is The Last of Us, because I've talked about this with you at length.
Even though other people like it.
Yeah, even though other people like it, because... So, by the way, for the last 10 minutes of the show, spoilers abound.
Spoilers for a lot of games last 10 minutes of the show.
So you spend all of The Last of Us running around with this girl, and as basically your surrogate daughter figure, but the whole point of the game is there's a zombie apocalypse, and she has the cure. She's immune, so they can do something with her blood or something, and you have to get her to this place, and then the world will be saved. And they spend the whole game doing that, and then at the end, you find out that she does not survive the procedure to save the world. And as soon as that line of dialogue happened, I went, I should stop playing the game now, because I know that Joel, who is up until this point been going exactly the way I want him to go, is now going to force me to make a choice that's the wrong choice. And I hated that.
Mm.
And so that was the first thing that jumped to mind when you said games with disappointing endings.
Boy, I'm going to have to respectfully disagree. And maybe if we do an episode on games with extremely satisfying endings, Matt and I will bring up that game, because I love that ending. It's not an RPG. Your choices don't matter. You're playing as Joel. He's making the choices. That's my one sentence on it. Matt, give a one sentence rebuttal.
I mean, it's a bold choice for an ending, and I think if you're a developer and you decide to do an ending like that, you know some people aren't going to like it. And that's just, you think that's what's right, so you have to go with it. It will make some people mad. I loved it.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
By the way, I will also say before we get too far into this, if you a few weeks ago when we discussed something like this, we discussed games that like blew it at the end or games that revived a series. I did get an email. I got a fan mail saying or recommending one. They wanted us to talk about BioShock Infinite because 2 was a big departure.
2 is on my list.
I will say, we did say it has to have at least 3 titles. So
we did do that.
There's only one down. But I did appreciate the fan mail. And if you do email us in the next 10 minutes, I got my phone right in front of me. I will read it on air. I swear I'm going to be more on the ball this time.
So another one that I think is less controversial.
All right, fire away.
Prince of Persia 2008.
That, I mean, the game was disappointing.
Yes, the game was. But like, part of the game was still fun, right? The runny, jumpy, climby that made Prince of Persia what it was. That was still there. The characters were crap. The new prince was terrible, and what was her name? Elika or something? She's really stupid. But anyway, so at the end of that game, like, again, you spend, in a very similar way to The Last of Us, you spend the whole game trying to accomplish this goal, in this case, pushing back the darkness with Elika.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, once again, you find out, Elika's going to die, because that's her purpose. Like, her whole purpose is to, you know, push back the darkness forever, and she dies. And the prince goes, no, the darkness is going to cover the world forever, because I'm going to undo everything I did in the course of this game to save her life. When he does, like, nobody likes Elika. they didn't even have any chemistry for the prince. Like
prince like dog.
Yeah, well, it didn't make any sense.
It was written that way.
Yeah. Not right. really.
All right, because we got to keep moving. Matt, you have one on your list, too. And there's a big one that we're going to save for the last, like, 3 minutes for us to complain about.
Could it possibly be Shadow of War?
Nope, but go ahead.
All right. So, Shadow of War, great game. Loved 90% of it. The ending got a lot of flack for basically being a pretty transparent money grab for the microtransactions to just get rid of the grind of the end. I said, screw it. It can't be that bad. I'll just grind through it. It was that bad.
Mm. Oh, dear.
So basically, for those who haven't played, there are these little like siege, not quite mini games, but you know, mini sequences that you do throughout the game that are a lot of fun. You know, it makes really good use of like your sort of henchman guys. I can't remember the actual in-game name for them. But basically, when you get to the end, you have 10 like stages of these siege battles, which starts off the first three are like one in each. But by the time you get to the end, the last like two or three stages have like five sieges each in them.
Mm-hmm.
And these each take about like half an hour to 45 minutes to do.
Oh,
if you
man.
Win,
oh, geez.
Which is not a guarantee, I'd say you lose maybe a quarter of them because they're somewhat challenging. So like the last 10% of the game takes about a third of the time of the entire game, and it's just the exact same thing over and over and over again. But I was so excited going into the beginning of this, because right before this, you get a whole like new tree of powers available to you. There's a really cool story moment right before it. I thought the game was going to open up with all this cool new stuff, and then it's just an absolute slog to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you just do 10 rounds of these things, and then you get a cutscene saying, like, well, all we can do is keep fighting. Like, there is no victory. Victory is just continuing until the Lord of the Rings happens and they destroy the ring.
It's funny that you bring that up because, sorry to interrupt you, but we're running out of time, so we got to move quickly. But Shadow of Mordor actually had a pretty disappointing ending too, which is basically it felt like it was going to be, hey, we're not going to solve this. Like, you can't actually kill Sauron because Lord of the Rings has to happen. So it felt very trapped in its little box. I'm going to throw a couple rapid fire here.
Okay.
They might be on your list, so maybe we'll knock them off. Fable 2. Remember, wasn't anything that really disappointed me? You're kind of all stuck in this magical chamber room, and then someone shoots your dog. No, I think that was at the beginning. Your dog dies at some point, though. It was terrible.
Yeah.
But basically, you're just stuck in this room, and it was like, we want to have a big philosophical choice that you didn't earn. As much as I love the Fable series, the ending to Fable 2. I mean, they over-ended Fable 3. Yeah. So
well,
I guess
in fact, Fable 3 is on my list.
Ah, there you go. So Batman Arkham Asylum, where they have a nice, grounded, realistic, intense Batman game. And then at the very end, Joker takes steroids and turns into Bane Joker.
Yeah.
Bad call.
That's
good. And we already talked about them remastering it, but Assassin's Creed 3, I thought it had a really bewildering ending where it's like, it's the end of the world, kind of.
Sort of.
And it's Desmond sacrificed himself, but like the bad person who's a god is still there, and it's not like Junos. I don't know.
Yeah,
it,
who knows?
It was very perplexing. It seemed like they just wanted to kill Desmond and get out of it, but that one came out of nowhere, and I thought was not great. All right. So, Adam, I'm going to give you, select your best one.
Well, since you brought it up, I'm going to talk about Fable 3, because I am not a Fable fan.
Mm-hmm.
But two-thirds of the way into Fable 3, you take the you think this is the end of the game. You take the castle, you're all ready to kill your brother and become king, and he goes, I don't want it, bad stuff's gonna happen, you be king. And I went, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I went, gold star, Peter, well done. And then the rest of it is like, okay, it's fine. You have to make these tough decisions, like to try and hold back the darkness, and there's kind of a weird bit about why don't you tell people this is coming that seems like a good trump card to have.
Yeah.
When you're like, I need to drain this lake, because otherwise monsters are going to eat your face.
Yeah.
But apart from that plot hole, I thought it was great, and then you get to day 150 to go, and it time skips to the end.
Yeah.
And I went, I'm not allowed to say that on air.
There's another one for the bingo card.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I was furious at that ending, because that's such a great like that one makes me the most angry, because it was such a great premise and then you just completely blew it.
Speaking of which,
let's get to the big
let's talk about the most disappointing ending of all time, Mass Effect 3. We've our distaste for the Mass Effect 3 ending is chronicled over all time, but let's get one last bit of vitriol out here. I remember I remember pacing in my basement when I got to the ending, the final choice, when I just like stood there, heard that like the heartbeat theme music playing. Yeah. I remember not sleeping that night. I remember my boss being like, why do you look so bloodshot the next day? And I had to try to explain because this game messed up my life. Like, ironically, it really has a great ending in the Citadel DLC. If you guys, I think you both all played
yep.
it. But that ending at the time, they sort of fixed it later.
Not really.
But that ending at the time was a monument to how to cataclysmically fail at ending your game. And,
ending your trilogy.
And, yeah. like, to be honest, I couldn't even look at Matt. It's my favorite game series of all time. I couldn't even look at the series for, like, a year after that. That's how horrible that ending was. And the new ending is okay, but not
great. It's a Band-Aid on a bullet hole.
Yeah, like. And it's still... I think their biggest mistake was not going enough after the ending. Like, I wish we had more time to talk about how we could fix some of these things. Maybe we'll do that next week. But it's like, I really... Even if you had the same ending, it needed, like, several cutscenes afterward of what happened to everybody. That's what was really missing.
So,
I think that would have made it
in
easier.
In our last 3 minutes, please, for those of them out there who were too young to know the horror, I think you have to take us out on what exactly... Like, because we talked about the other how the others ended, but I don't think you can assume that everybody knows the crap show that was the end of Mass Effect 3.
Jeez.
And no one is more qualified than you.
I wanted to get Matt's thought on it, too. Okay, so I'll try to do it in under a minute here. So you have an entire series, an entire trilogy built on choice. This isn't like The Last of Us, where there might just be a bad ending that you can't avoid. This is a good choice. If you do everything, you have enough Paragon points, the series has established, things will go well for you. That's how RPGs work. If you go too hard, things will go well for you.
And Mass Effect 2 did it right, because how well you did... or how good you were determined how many people you saved.
Exactly. And then in the marketing, they said your choices, there's going to be tons of different endings. Your choices are going to matter, blah, blah, blah. In the end, you get to the finale. A random character comes out of nowhere, dressed as a kid. He tells you you have these three choices. All of them suck, and it leads to the exact same cutscene. The only difference is the color was changed. And so I guess if you've only played the Mass Effect Extended Cut, you might be wondering why the heck does this thing suck so much, because that wasn't the real ending. Go on YouTube, look at the real ending. Literally, the only difference was the color, and it infuriated people. Matt, I did it in a minute. How did the ending make you feel? You have a minute as well.
Well, I only ever actually played the Extended Cut.
Lucky you.
I got to it a little late. Even with the, like, quote-unquote fixed ending... It's still so disappointing.
Yeah.
It goes from like an F to maybe like a D plus.
Yes.
You know, and like, it's same thing. Character comes out of absolutely nowhere. It's a very nice looking sort of atmospheric scene when you're talking to this little like star child.
Yeah.
And the choices themselves, I think, are fine. But it just comes out of absolutely nowhere and gives you a completely unsatisfying end to the choice.
And it has nothing to do with any of the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
you could have stuck that ending in at the end of Mass Effect 1, and it would have made precisely as much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with what came before. It's just, like, it seemed like they were like, okay, so we want them in the end to choose between these three things. Okay, build 99% of the game. We're at the end. Crap, what do we do now? I don't know, just throw it in there. Like, it's so just separate from the rest of the game. And then even with the extra little cutscenes tacked onto the end in the extended cut, I really like the last one with Buzz Aldrin narrating, but, like, other than that, it's just... Like, they tried to give some resolution to the characters, but, you know, a 15-second cutscene of what happened to each one of them is not enough.
A static cutscene as well. It's just not good enough. Yeah, it's...
This isn't Fallout. You can't get away with that.
Exactly. So disappointing and infuriating. And they did end it properly with the Citadel DLC, but nothing will forgive what they did, especially after Andromeda. It's like, there's tons of rumors that they originally wanted it to be like a Dark Matter thing. That's why Tally's world was going on, and then it were like leaked, and so they changed. Yeah.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with what came before. It's just like, it seemed like they were like, okay, so we want them in the end to choose between these three things. Okay, build 99% of the game. We're at the end. Crap, what do we do now? I don't know, just throw it in there. Like, it's so just separate from the rest of the game. And then even with the extra little cutscenes tacked onto the end in the extended cut, I really like the last one with Buzz Aldrin narrating, but, like, other than that, it's just... Like, they tried to give some resolution to the characters, but, you know, a 15-second cutscene of what happened to each one of them is not enough.
A static cutscene as well. It's just not good enough. Yeah, it's...
This isn't Fallout. You can't get away with that.
Exactly. So, so disappointing and infuriating. And they did end it properly with the Citadel DLC, but nothing will forgive what they did, especially if, after Andromeda. And it's like there's tons of rumors that they originally wanted it to be like a dark matter thing. That's why Tally's world was going on, and then it were like leaked, and so they changed it at the last moment. Don't do that. Even if it leaks, stick with the original idea, was probably a good one. All right, that has brought us to the end of our show. Next week, I won't guarantee it, but we should be back to our regular time slot. Boy, I hope so.
We will be, unless we're not.
Exactly. We will be, either we will be or we won't. So, in the meantime, everyone out there, keep gaming. Have a great week. Stay safe out there in the snow. And we'll see you next week.